And welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome any visitors in Jesus' precious name. We have just a few intimations. There's tea and coffee after the service, as usual, just through the small hall. Time to share together in fellowship and refreshments. The pastoral care group asked to wait a little behind at the end of the service for a short meeting. And if anyone else is interested in becoming part of the pastoral group, care group, then please just make yourself known. Wednesday, 20th of June, 7 o'clock, down at Ardeer Church Hall. Who wants to be a Bible millionaire? These are the kind of things I normally avoid, because they expect the ministers to know all the answers. But since Brian's going to be there, that'll be fine. So that's Wednesday, 20th of June. And just a couple of other intimations, short intimations. A reminder that the funeral for John Kerr is this Friday coming, the 15th, at 11:15 here, and then 12:30 at the crematorium. And certainly, members may be saddened to hear of the death of Margaret Scollin, died last week. I have no indication of when the funeral is, so I can't give you any other information. Let's come together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, as we pray and give you thanks for Margaret. And we pray, Lord, for her family. Lord, in the sadness of death and the grief of death, we can rejoice in knowing you. And so we ask for your healing and comforting and peaceful touch on Margaret's family. Pray too for all of John's family. And this week, as they lead up to his funeral, that you just would be with them, Lord, and that they would know you. They would feel you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And our intro is brought in, as we are gathered, Jesus is here. We come as seekers, unsure of what we seek. We come as followers, not understanding the one we follow. We come to worship even though we don't know how. Holy One, by your grace, meet us where we are. Meet us here. Meet us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. Let's stand to worship. Let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. It's from our comfortable armchairs that we put the world to rights. We solve ancient disputes over territory. We find sensible ways to bring peace and harmony to a world desensitized to violence and hatred. We settle moral and ethical dilemmas over such things as embryo research. Bring an end to terrorism by bringing all the parties together to take part in a well-tempered discussion. It's from our comfortable armchairs that we control the world through remote connection to the television screen. Our condemnation of all that is wrong and our solutions to the problems of this world seem eminently sensible. There must be many more like us, Lord. Yet this world is torn in pieces by division. We are part of that division, Lord, because our voices are only heard within the walls of our living rooms. You overturned the stalls of the moneylenders in the temple. You shouted out your condemnation, your righteous anger. We have our comfortable armchairs, but you faced every challenge up front, never turning away. We have our remote controls and give ourselves the choice of changing channels. Father, as we come before you, we confess our apathy. We confess the attitude of it's someone else's job. We confess the not me. We confess, Lord, that from our comfortable armchairs, we watch the world go by unchallenged. We watch the world go by going further and further from your ways and from your word. We watch a world deteriorate and fall apart. But Father, before we go around blaming someone else, by your Spirit, open us to your ways and to your word. Remind us of your great commission to make disciples, for us to make disciples. Remind us of your great commandment to love you and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Father, we come confessing that we've boxed you in to a Sunday morning. So, Lord, by your Spirit, hear our confessions. Release us from those chains which bind us to this world. Set us free to worship you, to glorify you, to enjoy you forever, to rejoice in all that you've done for us, even in all the most difficult times. Lord, would you put a smile on our hearts and let that move to our faces. Heavenly Father, hear us as we rejoice and share the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not.
Thirty Sayings of the Wise. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, saying of counsel and knowledge, teaching you to be honest and to speak the truth, so that you bring back truthful reports to those you serve? Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Do not be the one who shakes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. Amen.
Well, good morning.
This is working, isn't it? Yes, it's working. It's great. I'll put it up near my moo. There we go. You can see. Hi, Natalie. Hi, Duncan. I've been here for quite a few months now, and it's nice to see you. And I haven't really had a lot of time to kind of speak with you, have I? I've never really been through to say hello. And oh, you need to forgive me for that. But anyway, I wanted to talk this morning. Dave asked me to answer the question of what is a disciple? Thank you, Dave. What is a disciple? But firstly, I wanted to ask a question. Who's a fan of a football team? Natalie, have you got a football team? No? No, you don't have a football team. What about you, Duncan? Aberdeen? Oh, a soft spot for them, eh? Well, at least you're far enough away with it. You're not going to get a lot of criticism from that. I brought a wee tie along this morning. I'm quite far away as well because I was brought up on the East Coast. So I've got a kind of Hearts of Midlothian colours here. And it's really weird this morning. I came in with my scarf and a lovely member of the church told me that our grandpa, is it grandpa? And great grandpa used to play for Hearts of Midlothian. Your grandpa did too. But I've got to confess, I wasn't around then to see them. Mine's was a wee bit newer, the people that played for them. But it's fantastic. You know, people who follow football teams. And you're a great fan of Aberdeen. Have you been to see them? No? Oh. Too far. They come to home games. They come to Kilmarnock.
It's too cold.
Oh, it's too cold. It is. But you're a fan, aren't you? You're a fan of them. You learn about them. Do you read a wee bit about them and you find out what they're doing and you're a fan, yeah? But that's like being a follower, isn't it? You follow them. You follow where they're going. You follow them in the league, and they did really well this year. You follow them with that. But I wanted to say that, you know, in order to decide what a disciple is, we need to look at what a disciple is, isn't he? And that's a fan. Now, we can be fans of Jesus. We can be real great fans of Jesus, but that doesn't make us a disciple. We can follow Jesus and what he said, but that still doesn't make us a disciple. And if you look at the dictionary, the word disciple means one who learns from another, one who adheres to the teachings of someone. I'm just going out, no. Someone who learns from them. But it's deeper than that, because being a disciple is someone who worships, it's someone who serves, and it's someone who witnesses. Now, I'm not going to say too much about that, because I think Dave is going to actually open that out a wee bit later on. But the word disciple, this is my intellectual bit, comes from the Latin discipulus. Discipulus, you can see where disciple comes from, eh? I've probably said it all wrong. It sounds like a football player, doesn't it? Discipulus. But it means one who learns. But it goes more than that, because we can learn from Jesus. And how do we learn from Jesus? We learn from Jesus from his word, from scripture. And of course, by the way he speaks into our hearts and our conscience. But we learn from Jesus. And we put Jesus at the front of everything. A disciple isn't just someone who follows. It isn't just someone who is a fan. It's someone who wants to be exactly like that person, who wants to be exactly like the life of that person and follow that person. In a way, all we want to be is mini Jesus Christ's. That's what disciples are. We have to reflect the life of Jesus in our own lives. It's quite a responsibility. And where other disciples might learn things, it's like a student or a pupil at school, that's fine, but they don't go home and want to be like the teacher. Well, maybe some do, I don't know. They don't want to follow the teacher, they want to follow the teaching, whereas we want to worship our Lord Jesus. That's a difference. But we also serve. Because a disciple isn't just somebody who learns it and goes home and says, I've got the bit of paper, thank you very much. They actually do things in their life. They serve. They're a servant. Jesus came as a king, but he came as a servant king. So a disciple is a servant. And most of all, at the end of the day, and I think we heard the same thing in prayer this morning, that we are witnesses. In other words, we are people who then take our discipleship and want to share that good news of joy with other people. So the full rounded part of life of a disciple is more than just a learner. It's more than just a follower. It is a complete life of Jesus in us. And that's why it's so much of a responsibility and so hard to achieve in a lot of ways. But we have the Holy Spirit to help us. So I hope that kind of clears up a wee bit more about what a disciple actually is, because we use that word awful much, don't we? We tell them the disciple, you know, and it's more than just coming to church. It's about being church. It's about being as well as just coming. So that's my interpretation of what a disciple is, and we'll hear a wee bit more about that later on. But keep it up, Aberdeen, yeah. Like Aberdeen as well. Good. Thank you for that. We're going to praise again with another lovely song, actually. I can't see his face, but it's called You Call Me to Be Yours. I can't see your face, but I know that you are smiling.
If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the God who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give new life to you through his indwelling spirit. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. We praise again our hymn for the month. So this is the second time now we've sung 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and we worship him.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord.
Sing like never.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. I pray that it'll be very, very clear and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When I was a cub, just a couple of years ago, I learnt the cub law and the promise. I learnt to do basic knots. As a slightly older cub, I learnt to pitch tents. I began to learn to work with others. But I had leaders experienced in running a cub pack. So the things that they were teaching me were the things that they had been taught. When I was a scout, I learnt the scout promise and the scout law. I learnt more complex knots and lashings. I helped to set up camps and build the kitchen areas. I learnt more about being a leader, taking on more responsibility. But I had scout leaders who were practiced in scouting. I had scout leaders who knew what it had been to be a scout. And this is what they had learned. I also had older scouts to look to. And sometimes it was as simple as learning from their mistakes as anything else. I remember one year when the scouts had come back from camp, I hadn't gone, and I was met one of the senior patrol leaders, and his hand was all bandaged up. And he had told me that at camp, when he was chopping some wood, his hand got before the wood and the axe, and there was now a lovely hole in his hand. I learnt something that day without touching an axe. I learnt to keep my hand out the road. But these are the things that we learn and how we learn. You know, when I became a helper and then an assistant cub leader, referred to as Baloo, and I share that because there's a minister, he's now an army chaplain, who will introduce me to people as, "This is Dave, he was my Baloo." So I get that out there before anyone else. But you know, at the time of becoming an assistant cub leader, I had mentors who helped me, who taught me. I worked with other leaders and took my place at training, and on it goes, learning more of the way of scouting, learning what it is to be a scout leader, learning how to teach younger people these things I had learned. And when I became the cub leader, the Akela, and then after that, the group scout leader, I took more responsibility. I took on the role of mentor, supporting young helpers and leaders. I set up training days, disguised them as barbecues. It's food again. It's no disguising that. But I set up these training days and meetings for leaders in the group. I encouraged them to take the lead in organising the camps. And for those who are scouters amongst us will know that the forms that have to be filled in. Well, I invented a phrase. It's not my name on the form. And that's why I tried to get that whole thing about other leaders taking the responsibilities, mentoring them. So it was not my name on the form, or trust me, I'm your leader, or trust me, I'm your Akela. That didn't work either. But you know, at various stages, I repeated my scout promise, promising I would do my best to do my duty to God and to the Queen, to help other people and to keep the scout law. But throughout scouting, I had mentors, people who trained me, who taught me, who showed me how to be that scouter, how to be that scout, how to be that cub. And it was in the midst, I've shared this before, it was in the midst of scouting and a cub camp that I had my experience with God, that I was saved and became Christian. And I went to speak to the minister, and I think I've maybe said before, just a year after that, he had died. And one of the things I realized at that point was my mentor had gone on. I'd lost not just a friend and a minister, but a mentor. And so my life in the church was, I was introduced to what church was. I was clearly told what was expected and what was not, including the first morning of my first communion as an elder, when the phone goes, pick up the phone, it's the session clerk. Sorry, Sandy, this is a story about session clerks. The phone goes, and it's the session clerk. "Good morning, Dave," he says. "Good morning. It's communion this morning." "Yes, I know. Are you going to be there?" "Yes." "Well, just to remind you, it's white shirt and black tie." "Oh, is it?" says I, who was already breaking the mould with a kind of blue tie, brighter blue tie. And I actually felt like going on and getting my favourite loud tie, which was big yellows and oranges and reds, and putting that on just to be the rebel. But I was told, that's what I was told. This is communion, and it's about white shirts and black ties and a suit. That's what I was told. This is what we told people about church and about what we do. This is about communion. I was told what to do and what not to do, very clearly. But I knew that we should have a quiet time to be with God. But you know, I never had any instruction on how to do that. I did read the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, right through. Can't remember how long it took, but I did. And wondered about all these difficult bits, particularly the Old Testament, and what all that meant. I knew that I should pray, but you know, there was never any instruction from the church. I was introduced by the minister who had died to healing services and healing ministry. And so I went to healing conferences at Carbery. And over the years of going to that, I learned. I never had real mentors, but I learned from people. I learned what it meant to actually minister to someone else, to pray. I learned what it meant to lay on hands and anoint with oil. And some of that's because these are the things that happened to me. But I learnt these things. You know, as someone who would tag himself as evangelist, I almost instinctively knew I had to share God's love with others. But I really didn't know how to go about it, what to say, how to be. We're told today, I mean, we come back to this, but we're told today that, you know, we need to be missional. We need to get out there. We need to be speaking to those people out there who are not in here. Not necessarily to bring them in here, because that would be bringing them in here, and the danger is then we make them like us, the same as us. But we want to make them in God's image. We want to help them be transformed into God's image. But we talk about being missional. And there's a few things over the last few years that have really, really focused me. Almost troubled me about how we are as church. I've spoken before about Tom Allen in the 50s and the Tell Scotland campaign. I had this whole campaign about Tell Scotland. And it was ministers who said to Tom, tell them what? Tell Scotland what? And you think we would know that bit. You would think we would know that. Tell them that God loves them. Tell them that God's calling them. That He calls them to be His. And so the most important bit for me now is to go back into Scripture and see what it says about disciples. What is it that the disciples are doing? And how do we do this? I believe the church have not always been good about mentoring or training. And there's also a common mistake made, we sometimes make, it's the same one we make in Scouts and probably in Guides and Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade, and it's this, it's only going to be Friday night for a couple of hours. You'll have heard that, Dorothy. It's only going to be a couple hours once a week, but you'll have to do some training. You'll have to, but we'll get you over that. It's fine. Actually, it should be, we need you to do a couple hours a week at least. There'll be more in planning and preparation, but you know we're going to help you and support you because we're going to train you as well. What a difference that makes. What do we tell the folk coming to church? It'll be an hour on a Sunday. That's it. It's an hour on a Sunday. That's all it is. It's harmless. It's an hour. To be there, you sit there. Some person stands up at the front. Speaks for a while. We sing some songs. It's fine. It's an hour. Put some money in a bowl. It's great. Is that what it's about? Is that what it's about? Because you know, for some people it is. It's all it is. It's not that for me. Shouldn't be that for any of us. We're called to be disciples. We make a vow when we join. We profess our faith. And we promise to give of our time, our talents, and our money. We promise to give ourselves of God. And then we have the commandments. The commandments are not things to live by. They're not things to attain. The commandments are how we'll be when we get it. How we'll be when we understand what it is to be a disciple. I was sharing this with the elders and then at the AGM on Wednesday night of the state of the church. Not going to go into the detail because we don't have the time. But the headlines are, in the next 10 years, the church will have lost hundreds of ministers who won't be replaced, who can't be replaced because there's neither the money nor the people feeling called to ministry. There's neither the money, because there's not the same number of people in church. And there's a huge, huge building stock. So there's neither the money, nor there's the people. And sometimes it's because the people need to hear, first of all, that God loves them before they realize anything else. That can only come from us. How do they know, Paul says, how do they know if we don't tell them? How can they be saved if they don't know? And how can they know if we don't tell them? But you know, we need to be disciples first. We need to learn what it is. It's like tying that knot. You know, I was so proud of my first kitchen utensil that I made with sisal and bamboo. It was a straightforward tripod thing, and you jammed the round plastic basin into the top bit. That was it. I was so proud. So proud. You know, we need to learn what it is to be a disciple. We need to be able to share, to make disciples. That's the calling. And I fear that too many churches think the calling is to keep it to themselves. We're called to be disciples. That's why we need to look at Bible study. That's why we need to look at prayer meetings. Unless these things, unless the Word is underpinning everything that we're doing, it's nothing. Unless we're praying hard as people together, it's nothing. Unless we actually study the Word and know what it is, and Proverbs are beautiful. When you read into them, they're beautiful. Because it tells so much, but again, it's not how we should be, but it's how we will be when we get it. It's how we will be when we get it, when we're disciples. Sure, we'll make mistakes, we're human, but we'll know so much more. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and come to glorify you, to honor you. You call us to be disciples by your Spirit now. Settle within us. Open us. Enable us to be your disciples. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we continue with our offering. Thank you. as we come together in prayer, then things of joy to share as usual. It's God's faithfulness to us and that he calls us to follow him through Jesus Christ. From the Ardrossan Presbytery prayer diary is Malala Presbytery in Malawi. We have the visitors across. If you were at the High Kirk on Friday afternoon in the High Kirk Hall, there was the tea. We met William, James, Annie and Lindsay. And they shared some of their story and some of why they were across. But we pray for them. Pray for them. They've got some visiting to do. Got a lot of visiting to do. Not just around Presbytery, but in other areas of Scotland as well. This time for Presbytery, this time of year, the nomination committee is really quite busy trying to find people to do jobs, to be things, and to have things for the next year in Presbytery. So we pray again for the nomination committee and the conveners, which is the Reverend Martin Thompson. Just pray for them in all their work. From the Crossreach Prayer Diary, it's the Elms Care Home in Edinburgh, which is a care home for about 40 older people with dementia. And for Path of Renewal, we pray for the congregation in Arran, Lamlash, and the minister, Reverend Lily McKinnon. The mentor is the Reverend David Clarkson, and he's minister down at Moncton in Prestwick North. So we keep these people in our minds. These are things of joy to give thanks for, and you know, just some of the stuff that we've seen in the news, the things of concern that we might want to pray for, and even just the weather turning yesterday. There's a footage of huge hailstones on the M9 stopping traffic, and then a house in East Dumbarton been hit by lightning and going on fire. So we pray for folk who are involved in all that kind of stuff. And there's much worse as we look through the news. So let's come together in prayer. Let's pray. God of love, source of mercy and compassion, Father, we pray that you'd weave your dream for the world into the fabric of our lives. Remove the scales from our eyes and lift the indifference from our hearts so that we may see your vision. A new reign of justice and compassion that will renew the earth. Father, as we present ourselves to you, may you transform our lives so that we may accomplish your purpose. Anoint us with your spirit of love that we might bring good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim release to the captive. Give us a new urgency and a new commitment to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to shelter the homeless, and to visit those who live in isolation. Help us to reach out to those whom no one else will touch, to accept the unacceptable and to embrace the enemy. Surround us with your love, fill us with your grace, strengthen us for your service. Empower us to respond to the call of Jesus, to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses and to follow. Father, as we present this offering, tokens of all that you've given us, we give back to you for the building up of your kingdom. We pray, Lord, you'd make us your disciples. In Jesus' precious name, amen. From heaven you came, helpless babe. This is our God, the servant king. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we have brought our worship to you. We've brought our worship not for what we get out of it, but to give to you. And so as we prepare to leave this place, may your Spirit be with each one of us. May he lead us in your ways to share with your people. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with each one now until Jesus comes again and then forevermore. Let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.